WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So don't use your cell phone as your alarm clock. Don't use your laptop in your lap and text rather than call. That is advice from the author and nutritionist Anne Louise Gittleman in her new book, Zapped. She argues that our near constant exposure to electromagnetic radiation from our cell phones, laptops, fancy refrigerators, and the Wi-Fi at Starbucks is hurting our health. She laid out 1,268 ways to minimize your exposure to electro pollution, and she joins me now. Anne Louise Gittleman, welcome to WNYC.
Pleasure to be with you, Brian.
And listeners, if you want to call in with questions about potential health effects from any of the gadgets that you own and love, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you say that our exposure to electromagnetic fields is 100 million times greater than what our grandparents faced. I guess I'd point out that our life expectancy is also higher than our grandparents' generation. So where do you start in saying we should be concerned about this?
Well, I think the reality is that there's a real explosion at this point in time in terms of all the technology, and the real problem is the children who are now getting cell phones at the age of 6 and 8 years old. And so the understanding here is that it's the future generation who have basically been plugged in since birth, whether it's the ultrasounds that their mothers have been taken or the little cell phones that they're now getting themselves. And since they're much more severely affected because their brains are still in the development stage and their skulls are thinner, I think it's really the children that we have to be concerned about. There's a lot of studies that are out there, primarily with the Bioinitiative report, that people are simply not aware of, where there were about 2,000 peer-reviewed studies that showed the potential dangers and the risks of all of this unmitigated radiation. And a lot of us are under the impression that if, in fact, there is no heating or a thermal action with radiation, then it doesn't create any biological effects. And in the book, I show how that is not true, and so many erudite scientists have shown that very similar radio frequency fields with certain carrier and modulation frequencies that couldn't produce any tissue heating, in fact, could create major biological changes. So there's some problems out there, Brian, and I think that if it just makes common sense that we're exposed 24/7 without a rest period, without a respite, and there are new gadgets that are coming out 24/7. There's not a time when you can get away from it, and we used to think that long-term HRT as well as tanning beds and even secondhand smoke was once safe.
How good is the science on any of this? It certainly makes sense to ask the questions and to be conservative where you can because there is so much electromagnetic radiation out there. But I think you cite a 2006 study of 900 people with brain tumors, which concluded that those who used cell phones for 2,000 hours total more than doubled their risk of malignant tumors on the side of their head where they usually held the phone. And yet the total incidence of these brain tumors is so rare. It was 19 people out of every 100,000 people. So that means the risk would have gone from maybe 8 people to 19 people out of 100,000. I don't know how you even tease that out as coming potentially from cell phone use.
Well, if you add that to the other ways in which we're getting radiation, then I think that you have a sense of really what's happening in terms of all the unmitigated exposure. And if you take a look at the book, and that was just one study that we wrote about, and you take a look at the book and you read a little bit about the Bioinitiative report that I detail, which was a very interesting document that was compiled in 2007 by a group of very erudite scientists and researchers and public health officials. It concluded, with over 2,000 peer-reviewed studies, that the unmitigated exposure of EMFs over the last 30 years do expose us to serious health risks, whether it's Alzheimer's, breast cancer, immune system hypersensitivity, and disruption of brain function and DNA. So there's a whole variety, and there's a kind of listing of problems that really can occur, with brain tumors perhaps being at the end line of the most egregious result.
Let's take a phone call. Monique in Tarrytown, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Monique.
Hi. I have a house full of children, and we're tripping over wires, and I want to go wireless with my computers and my printer and all that stuff. And after you, should I just continue tripping over my wires or going Wi-Fi in my house? Is that something? And I don't let my kids stand in front of the microwave, but now that I'm thinking I'm going to be entering the house, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the idea is that tripping over wires or positioning them in a little healthier position where people are not as liable to trip, I think, is going to be your best bet at this point. You really need a safe haven, because these kids are being exposed to wireless technology, whether they're in school, whether they're in the malls, whether they're in the library, they're taking a trip someplace, they're in the airplanes that are now going wireless. So there's unmitigated effects of this, which do have a severe biological impact. So my suggestion to you is, if in fact you do have a wireless router in the house, that you disable it at night, at least give the kids some respite. Make sure that wireless router is as far away as possible from any living thing. And that as much as possible, and this is really the big deal, that if you've got a mobile phone that you're using, which a lot of people do use, you know, a cordless phone, that you go back to a corded phone and only use the cell phone, you know, for emergencies. But at home, I would go back to the old-fashioned landed corded phone, landline that's corded.
What's the potential mechanism for any health effects from those? I mean, we've been using the word radiation, but it's not like radiation from, you know, a nuclear weapon, let's say. So what is the mechanism? What is it about Wi-Fi? What's the substance or the type of wave that interacts with what part of the body in what way? I mean, has this been demonstrated?
Yeah, it has. We're talking about microwave and radio frequency radiation exposure, which actually has been demonstrated by some very interesting independent scientists, Henry Lay being one of them, a PhD at the Department of Bioengineering, School of Medicine and College of Engineering at the University of Washington, who's written quite a lot about these effects. And basically what we're finding with this particular type of non-ionizing radiation, which, as you say, is not like X-rays or CAT scans, it's still very cumulative, and we get changes in cell membrane function. There are changes in what they call the calcium metabolism and cellular communication signaling. They're seeing breaks in DNA, as well as an activation of something called heat shock proteins. That's as if some kind of heating mechanism has occurred, when in fact it hasn't. A lot of premature aging, changes in brain function, headaches, fatigue, sleep disorders, and a reduction in melatonin secretion, as well as cancer, has all been connected to this.
It's so general that it makes it a little harder to believe that, if you're talking about, you know, potential cancer 20 years down the road because of certain DNA changes, I mean, that's a specific threat. But if you're saying because of these same wireless phones, cordless phones and things like that, some people experience fatigue, some people experience nausea, some people experience mood alteration. I mean, it sounds like this catch-all threat that can cause anything that's wrong with you, and that makes it a little harder to believe.
Well, it may be that way, but if you take a look at all the radio wave sickness research that went on in the 70s with the Soviets, I mean, they categorized so much of the electro-hypersensitivity in terms of neurological problems, cardiac problems, respiratory problems, dermatological problems, and others, so it can impact any place, any system, you know, that may be your weakest link. And unfortunately, when you get individuals that have become electro-hypersensitive, this becomes exceedingly real, which is why I've highlighted several of them in ZAP, so you can actually see what's going on and how people do feel better when they reduce their exposure.
And Louise Gittleman, author of the book Zapped, and George in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi. I use my laptop on my lap for 6-7 hours a day. I sort of lie back in my chair, put my feet up, and I rest. I have a pillow on my lap, and then I have the laptop. And sometimes I have this weird sensation, kind of an aching in my hip joints and in my general groin area. And I'm wondering if there's something I could do to protect myself, maybe if there's some kind of a fabric or material that I could lay across my lap that might protect me.
And Louise?
You know, there is a fabric, and if you take a look I've got a series of websites where you can go to. I think lessemf.com is one of them. They're fabrics that are actually shielding fabrics that people use. Many individuals get those kind of aches and pains if they're even near lots of wireless routers or heavy-duty motors, or even are putting their laptop on their laps. But that's not the best place for your laptop, unfortunately, because we find that wherever this type of radiation is near, it can radiate that particular part of the body. So we want to get it off your lap as much as possible, and if you can get one of those shielding fabrics, which I, in fact, use in my own home, that might be your best bet.
Thank you, George. And you're a nutritionist, Anne-Louise.
Indeed, a nutritionist.
And you also go through the foods and supplements to eat to combat electropollution. What would they be?
Well, what we're finding, particularly with electropollution, is that melatonin levels, you know, that very important hormone that's important in terms of circadian rhythms and getting yourself a good night's sleep, seems to be diminished with EMF exposure. So making sure that you have a little bit of melatonin at night, very important. Melatonin can actually breach the... It's able to cross the blood-brain barrier, so it's very effective in terms of preventing any of that free radical damage to cell membranes. So I like the melatonin, number one. I'm also very fond of vitamin D, interestingly enough. Besides building bones and fighting depression and being very good for your immune system, we find that it's very protective against low-level background radiation. A good whey protein powder drink in the morning, also very important. And another kind of an uber antioxidant, which is known as alpha-lipoic acid, maybe 200 to 600 milligrams a day, seems to be very important as well in terms of warding off some of the dangers of radiation. Now, there are other foods as well, Brian, that I write about because my background is nutrition and health. And eating something like tart cherries, some additional cranberries, as well as asparagus seem to be exceedingly helpful, and good old-fashioned blueberries. So anything that's very high in antioxidants will also be very helpful in terms of warding off some of the free radical dangers that we find with all types of radiation.
All right. Well, people, new things to be concerned about as new devices come on the market and as they accumulate in our lives. The science is still being done on so many of these things, but Anne-Louise Gittleman is certainly concerned, and she writes about 1,268 ways to minimize your exposure to electropollution in her brand-new book called Zapped. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Rachel Senator. We had intern help today from Sam Dishy and Annie Burns. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.